Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago way.
The Chicago way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
Well, you know, Jeff Carlin and John Cass are back for the Chicago Way podcast, and it's such a good feeling to be back here in the middle of the summer, like we're returning from our summer vacation, and we'll explain all that.
Yeah, John, good to talk to you. I know we've been kind of sporadic the last few weeks in posting podcasts and whatnot.
Let's explain why.
Yeah, as people know, Christine, my wife, had back surgery about a week ago, and she's unfortunately suffers from a condition where her spine deteriorates pretty rapidly over time, and it's a type of arthritis. And so every few years, a surgeon has to go in and kind of clean out the debris to keep it from pressing on her spinal column and her nerves, and keep her from just being miserable, because everybody knows you pull your back and right. Yeah, it makes everything tough. It makes everything miserable. You don't want to be and do anything. So she had a surgery, and it was a success. The surgeon found more pieces of her back in there than he thought he would. So it took a little longer than they wanted, but it wasn't a bad thing. It was a success. He was able to go in there. Dr. Bergen, great doctor. We recommend him. Ding. But yeah, so everybody's been so kind in reaching out and making sure she's, doing okay. And she is. She's doing very well. She's sore and can't get around too great. We did go for a walk the other day around the neighborhood.
I heard about that. I heard about that walk. And it was your way of trying to be kind, because you had already told her inadvertently that you expect her to wash the floor.
Right. I mean, she's got to get her chores done. I don't care what happened.
Right. Exactly.
No, but not.
I think it was. Kidding. I think it was when you reminded everyone that women have been, given birth out in the fields and working 18-hour days.
Yes, right. Forever. Historically speaking, yeah. Suck it up, right. Buttercup. Right. No, definitely not that. But yeah, so she's good. It's good it can be. She's on the mend. Hopefully she can be back to sleeping on her side and all that stuff in a few days.
Well, the people that really suffer, the people say, oh, what about the spouse? Because the spouse really suffers. But I'll tell you this. The person who's really suffering is Christine, okay?
Right.
She's the one with the pain. But then Jeff picks up the sympathetic pain?
I guess.
Side?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, right. you also feel bad, and I feel sorry for you, buddy. So I'm glad you're...
Yeah.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
I know we are, and it's... That's funny, people will stop and ask, well, how are you doing? And I'm usually taken aback by that. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm okay. I don't have a back problem. I'm good. It's all good. So that's why where we are. John and I are trying to get things back on track here. Try to get a couple more podcasts out the door. We've been toying with maybe doing a Facebook Live on Fridays. John and I were talking about that. Maybe we could do something there if people are interested. Because I hate to be on Facebook. What's worse than Facebook Live? And then you're sitting there by yourself, John. We couldn't do that.
That would be depressing to the point where I mean, come and go to Facebook, look at the weird John Cass who's lost weight, you know, maybe something like that. Like,
exactly. Oh,
he looks like a weirdo. He looks like he's half dead already.
Didn't even think of that. We could run it like a sideshow. Ah, John, there's our hook. Just kidding. You look great, John. It's funny because you say that, because I was looking through, you know, as we try and I tape this, the news broke of Rocky Wirtz passing away. And I have a little like a text thread with, you know, some old producer friends and like guys like Rokon and Richard Roper and, you know, some sports guys and whatnot. And I wanted to send them a text, a photo of Rocky and John and I, because we had this great conversation with him back in 2019 after his book came out, which if you haven't read Rocky's book, The Breakaway, it's fantastic. Yeah. It's a great, you know, you probably have to be a Chicago sports fan to really solidly appreciate it, but there's a lot of cool stuff about his family and, you know, running a family business that also happens to be his massive powerhouse and, you know, the strife that comes with that and the rifts that
there's a backstory. Yeah. There's a backstory on all that, which is we're at lunch.
Yes.
And he says, John, how long have we been having lunch? Every month for about what? How many years? And I go, I don't know, a few years. And he said, and in all that time, you know, he didn't speak like a dean from liberal arts college, but he said, in all this time, you've never asked me about my hockey club. Why is that? And I think I look at Jeff, or I think I looked at the ground or something, or at my shoes. I said, I don't know. And he said,
I've got the clip right here. Take a listen.
So years ago, before we get into the whole thing, years ago, we were having lunch once. And you said, I'd mentioned this on a podcast. And you said, you know, we've been having lunch now once every 6 months or so for a couple of years. And you never asked me about my hockey club.
Yes.
And you said, is it Bobby Hull and my dad? And I was like, yeah. And I'm wondering, why did you... That got me. For a generation of hockey fans, the loss of Bobby Hull, Bobby Hull leaving, really cut our hearts open, didn't it?
It did.
I mean, probably yours too as a kid.
Well, people didn't realize how big Bobby Hull was at the time. He was as big as Michael Jordan was, at least in Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
Golden Jet.
Golden Jet.
Number 9 on a left wing.
Yes. He's a nice man, you know. He's a good man. He loved his Hawks and... I'm glad he got to pick the best hockey player in the draft this year. You know, before,
yeah, going. You got to believe he's was happy with the position the team was in and the direction it was in. And you know, it's that clip was that interview was fun. It was hard to hear because we were in his boardroom, which is office actually at the not his office that everybody knows that the.
The secret office.
Not the secret office in the Sonja Henning Club, which is another story for another day. But the office was amazing, and there was this beautiful model of his boat, the Blackhawk.
Yeah.
Like this cool, I mean, we're talking like 5 feet long, but it was such a beautiful moment because when we walked through that space, the hallway leading to his office is just littered with photos from, you know, his dad's with Bobby Hull, him with Taze and Kane. I mean, it's all these really cool mementos. And as you kind of alluded to, Rocky doesn't say anything bad about anybody. He never would. You know, in that setup, you were kind of wanted to get him to break bad on the whole idea of that situation and why that sending away Bobby Hull kind of, you know, cut the wind out of a lot of fans' sails, and then his father kind of went crazy.
I wanted him to agree with me
that, right, you
know, we hated your dad and all that.
Right.
And he stood up for
never dad. Do yeah. that. He right. would never do that. Right. And so, you know, there was some stuff in recent years that have looked bad on the Hawks and their handling of some stuff back, you know, within that championship year in 2010. And you can see it in Rocky that, knowing that he let people down and knowing that there was this, you know, this thing that they screwed up. I mean, they didn't handle it the way they should, their own report. So they didn't handle it well. The Kyle Beach stuff I'm talking about. And it clearly hurt him personally, and because he was a good person, he was a good guy. Guys have a person who never say anything bad about anybody. And even when he was talking about his own family, you know, and they had there's lots of problems between the siblings and not getting along all much. At the end of the day, he said, you know, it's business, and unfortunately, you know, I can't help the way they feel, and I can only be me. And that was kind of one of those things that always stuck out and stuck with me, because I'd love to be like Rocky Wirtz. I'd love to be that gentle giant who likes to bring greatness and beauty to the world. And I just, we're going to miss him. I mean, the city is not going to be the same without his leadership.
And he's, you know, at 70, well, I think 70 is too young.
Yeah.
Especially since I'm 67. So I'm like, 70 is a young man. It's not, it's like the new 50, you know, even though years ago I would think it would be decrepit and old. But I just felt sorry for him that all that was happening. And that people were taking advantage and shots. People were taking shots, particularly sports writers.
Right.
The kind of digs and jabs that they don't have the guts to actually say it to his face, and they do it sideways. And
And it was unfair. It was unfair because
he had some good consultants around him, good people. I know Christian McQuarrie was with him, and Guy Ciparoni was with him.
Yeah.
And people like that who supported him.
Thinking about Guy, it was unfair too for people and reporters, and you know that's what people will do. They have opinions and they put them out there. Look at what we're doing. But it was unfair to say to blame stuff like that, because if you knew Rocky and you knew the way he ran things, like he didn't want to be hands on on anything. You know, he wanted to find the right people, and if he didn't like what was happening, he'd change it. You know, he wasn't the type of guy who was like, "What's happening? What's happening?" You know, every day. There's too many things going on. And he was, you know, he used to say about the Hawks all the time. People would ask him, you know, we'd have him on the radio station all the time. And he would ask him, you want to ask him, well, what about this player? What about that player? This thing. And he's like, I don't know. He's like, I know. I hired guys who I know are good and can do the job, and they're doing the job. You know, sorry. I can't get into it. And so people were ripping him for any of the stuff that the team was doing and the coaching and the. It's just unfair.
So they also ripped him because they didn't like what some of his executives were doing. Like they didn't give the executives, the journalists did not get access to certain players or certain things. Yeah. So they attacked Rocky because they knew he wouldn't fight back.
Right.
And, but they wouldn't dare attack the executives directly, because then they'd be cut out. And what they really don't like is, well, you're going to see it again. The opening of the Bears camp, and the Bears camp opens up, and the same thing. That's why I hated cover sports. It was interesting to read about occasionally, but when you cover sports, you have to pay attention to the general manager. That person can give you access or shut you down in terms of access to players, and the rest of it's nonsense. The rest of it is nonsense. So enjoy yourselves covering jock straps.
I like to think about it like I was compared to like ballet, right? Like you wouldn't have a team of reporters covering ballet, because it's entertainment and it doesn't really do anything. It doesn't really impact anybody other than they say, hey, that was really nice. I'm glad I experienced that. It was great, but yeah, you're right.
I think you better rephrase your commentary, because there's a woman that I love and respect, and her name's Betty Cass. And if you attack ballet, again,
oh no, by no means,
she'll hear it.
And I'm elevating ballet to the level of sport. I'd say that we should do them both the same. I mean, we spend all this money on time and energy on following guys who throw balls around. I've seen lots of ballet dancers who are put in the hours and could do way more intense things for a much longer time than a lot of professional athletes who get millions of dollars.
Who's tougher, Singletary or Baryshnikov? Let's get that done.
Yeah, right. We'll put that schedule that debate for next week.
Right.
Well, speaking of Bears and people doing what they want.
But I mean, the same thing is the kiss ass of the general. You always see the general, if the coach is in trouble, if the team sucks, what they do is they start beating the hell out of the coach, because the coach is on, you know, but not the general manager. Right. You'll notice that the general manager is not going to be attacked because he has to be protected. The queen bee provides the nourishment, you know, the nutrients, the royal jelly, and the reporters, workers need that.
Well, and you've seen it converting too in the things like Barstool Sports and all these, you know, third or fringe, quote unquote, non-mainstream media sports covering websites and Twitter feeds, whatever they are. And they blew up in recent years for that very reason, that they didn't care, that they would just say, well, hey, we're not going to talk. The GM's not going to talk to us. The players aren't going to talk to us. We'll talk to ourselves and we'll create our own narrative about what we think is happening as quote unquote fans.
There was a fellow named a good sports writer named Ron Borges in Boston. He was out East. Good boxing writer, good columnist. I liked him. I recommended him for a job at the Chicago Tribune. Anyway, so he was covering the Boston Patriots, or one of the
New England, yeah,
New England, and they had a cocaine problem, and he wrote about it right before the Super Bowl. They were playing the Bears, and the Patriots shut him off.
Wow!
So the Patriots wouldn't talk to him. No player would talk to him. No coach would talk to him. This is the guy covering the team. This is the beat writer. And they shut him off. And you know what the Boston paper did? They supported him, right? They're like, you're not going to tell us how we cover. You know, there's not going to be like, oh, we're not going to let the Democrats tell us how to cover Hunter sure. Biden, you know?
Right.
But they
supported Universal.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's...
I mean, that's something people should know about sports. It's right. really, for all the fun of it, there's nothing fun about working it. Nothing.
No, yeah. I mean, you certainly the pageantry, and I know I'm poo-pooing sports, and I know I've.
No, so we much, like. I mean, come on, yeah. Bobby Hull going down the left wing, everyone's screaming at the stadium. Come
exactly.
on.
Like 20% of everything feeling? I own has a Blackhawks logo. On. Yeah. So I mean, it's not.
It's a good feeling, man. Right.
Right. It's just the reality of it. People get so caught up in it. And the money, and it's all that we talk about. And it's everything now. It's spread, not spread from it, but like you were saying, you know, you've got the same kind of concept happens in politics. And it's like, well, wait a minute, but that's really important. So we shouldn't be doing. I can understand that, you know, teams are private groups and they don't want to give access and they're protecting their IP and whatever and their image and all that branding. But politicians don't get that. They should not get that. It shouldn't even be close to being like, well, he's a Democrat, so he didn't mean that. You know, that, no.
He's not anti-Semitic. He's a Democrat.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't really hate Hitler. Right. Israel. He kind of hates Israel.
Exactly. Yeah,
right. Well, so Steve Huntley turned that around this weekend.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah.
At John Cass News, hat tip to Steve Huntley.
Absolutely. And you know what? One of the best.
I have to say, one of the things that keeps me going is dealing with people like Steve, who pros, you know,
yeah,
pros who love their work and love to do it. And you know, like, okay, he's not writing every day, you know, like he used to, but he's writing when he feels like it. And John Cass News is a place where you can come. And you know what? I'm thinking that maybe I should. Convene the board of directors,
sure,
and maybe expand the advertising footprint of John Cass News.
To allow it to get to
different eyeballs and
ear holes. Yeah, absolutely, and ear holes. You know,
and ear holes, right? In the podcast, and get it going.
Yeah,
a little bit more because I feel strong now.
Yeah,
I feel real strong. This is right when I get the big heart attack and die. But I'm feeling really good, and you know, let's get going. Let's get up and say, in the words of Sherlock Holmes, to his good friend, the ginger bearded Dr. Watson. Watson, the game is afoot.
There you go. Know,
let's go chase it down.
Yes, exactly. Or as with Fredo, what do we call Chris?
Fredo. I'm smart.
We'd say Chris Cuomo would say, let's get after it. You know, gee,
Let's get after it. How about doing, that's what I'm thinking about, doing some advertising. I don't know what to do, but you suggested doing the Facebook Live thing. Maybe would people like that? They got to tell me.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to put a post on Facebook and let me know what you think.
Yeah. Well, maybe a Twitter poll too. I'll throw it out and tag you in it, John, and you can share it.
Thanks,
but that's the thing, you know, so people want to do it. We want to see us on Facebook. We'd love to do maybe a Facebook Live on Fridays, John and I in video, which is not the draw you think it is. We'd have some fun, you know, talk about whatever's going on, and pick people's brains and see if we're also looking for ideas. If there's someone you think is really interesting, and you'd like to know more about them or hear from them or hear us talk to them, send us a note. We'd love to looking to pick up anything really. And you know us, it could be anything. It could be peaches downstate. It could be politicians, sports people, whatever. You know, we're looking
at. And not just some dead mobster either.
No, exactly. Even John's hairdresser, you know, we're looking to get.
My barber, Raphael. I can't have a hairdresser. John Cassidy. I can't have a hairdresser. I have to have a barber with a pole, barber pole, manly. Yeah. But you know what? Okay, let's get down to it, because there's one story I wanted to talk about today with you, and that is years ago, when I was a younger man and I could do this, I would go up to Canada on fly-ins. In a fly plane, you know, like a tiny little plane, and they'd land on a lake 200 miles from civilization or 300. And if you think 1 mile without a road is difficult to pass, think about 300 miles. How far is that?
Yeah.
No roads. But you know what's up there? Bears and wolves. Okay, so we had a bear problem. And then I hear that Jeff Carlin... Tell us about how you decided where to go.
So the backstory, obviously, the cocaine bear is popular this year, and there's John sent me this film Backcountry, which looks terrifying. But we were
Jaws on land.
Yeah, exactly. We were joking, Christine and I, about bears last summer when we decided we were going to go camping. But when I did some research, and we went to UP, Minnesota area, so obviously not as far removed and remote as, you know, the middle of Canada, but there are clusters in parts of the UP. There's an island in the UP where, like, it's a bear island, so you don't go there and during the summer, and then in the fall, the bears will leave the island and come to the mainland in the UP, and, like, bear attacks go through the roof. But then Minnesota side, apparently there's a lot of natural bears, because it's, you know, naturally occurring bears that just happen all the time. It's their territory, because you're close to Canada. So that's what we had to look up. You know, I had to research these different areas, because there's no way I'm standing ground against a bear with my wife in tow. I mean,
hold on. So don't confuse people. Did you say you were going to, that you researched bear attacks to determine where to go?
Yeah. Where not to go.
Where not to go.
Right. Okay, yeah. Great. We weren't looking for bear attacks, John. That's because it's just us in a camp. We're a tent, you know. I'm armed and protected as I need to be, but you know, not against a bear.
Did you see Outback, the movie? Because we've had another couple bear attacks just recently. There's one in Maine.
Yeah.
Where a man chased his dog into the bush. Mm-hmm. The dog went after the bear, and the man was credited for not being too upset at the bear, according to the media. This is how the media has changed. Okay? This is so Bambi, the Bambiization of media. Like, it's now, he didn't hurt the bear. He didn't hurt the bear's feelings. And then the other day, there was another bear attack. This time a woman was walking on a hike, and they found her body, and her body had been eaten, and in the mud with these huge bear tracks. And the headline, what was the headline, Jeff? Something like,
woman likely mauled by bear.
Yeah, apparently attacked.
Apparently attacked by
bear. Really? Because you don't want to offend the bears, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you don't want to. They don't have to have then to do a retraction when the bears get together and say, it wasn't us, it was a tiger. No, wait, it was a wolf. It was a...
What jerks. I could just imagine them all, like, you know, mincing fools that they are. And
Yeah, and that's, you know, we've talked about this, the kind of the idea of why papers are where they are is certainly related to mismanagement and leadership of following the wrong trend lines or thinking they knew better than people. But part of it's fear. And I think some of the fear is evident in that, the idea that, you know, well, I don't want to offend that group, or I can't tell what we're seeing, because
you carry a shotgun. And when you go into the woods alone, carry a shotgun loaded with rifle slugs.
Right.
And if you see a bear, you shoot it. You don't shoot it if it's like within 100 feet, 50 feet of you, you shoot it or shoot at it.
Well, that's the National Park Service says 100 yards, like you shouldn't get within 100 yards of a bear. You know, that it's dangerous because a bear can cover 30 yards in 2 seconds.
In a flash.
You know, they can move very fast. So you're absolutely right. And that's the thing is, I feel bad because you see how many deaths could be avoided if people just weren't fooled into thinking, well, I can go do whatever I want. It's fine.
How much constipation could be solved? You know, imagine, just think of constipation in an outhouse in like late July in the middle of the Canadian bush with a bunch of mosquitoes, bloodthirsty mosquitoes hovering. That's what the real reality is.
Right.
And you can't, because of nerves, you're scared of being killed and you can't, it's hard to go, right? I mean, it's true. So you're out there and you're thinking anytime you're thinking that the bear's going to knock over the outhouse and tear you up, right?
Yeah.
Or your brother says, John, don't come up here, John. And then you're freaked out because, oh my God, my little brothers are my brother Pete goes out of the cabin to,
sure.
Examine the facilities there. And what does he do? He runs smack dab into a bear. And the thing was alone, and they were alone. And the bear was on all fours staring at him. And Peter looked, he said, I remember looking at his little piggy eyes and thinking, he's thinking about eating me. And that's when he ran away. He ran as fast as he could. The old halfback from the Southwest Suburban Conference. Richards High School, running down the hill, and the bear could have caught him in the
snow. Oh, sure. But daylight? Was this the middle of the evening?
Daylight. Yeah, daylight.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Man.
Jeez.
But he made it to the edge, and then and why did he jump in the water? I don't know, but he didn't want to get wet, I guess. But see, the thing is, it's complicated, okay? The main thing is you have to drink plenty of fluids, bring prunes with you and plums on the way to fish camping, and then get ready to be eaten by a bear because some liberal park ranger doesn't want you to bring a gun.
I'd be surprised if actual park rangers were liberal in their stancing. That was my dream as a kid.
Mine too.
I got admitted to the program, the park ranger program at Colorado State when I was a kid, when I was in high school.
Why did you go?
It was in Colorado. It was expensive.
Instead of going hanging around these pot smoking like reporters and beatniks.
Right. Yeah. I really wanted to. My girlfriend at the time made me a sweatshirt that said like Colorado State and had the Rams on it. Yeah. It was so expensive. And I've got, the crazy part is, John, It was like a third of the cost of college now. It was nothing.
Wait a second. Was it really that expensive?
Well, it would have been because it was out of state.
And what's the return, right? Like $12,000 salary?
No, it wasn't a return. My parents just didn't want me to be so far away. And they couldn't have afforded it at the time. But it would have been like $30,000, a year. Which isn't terrible, but for out of state though, so
I would have taken you to school. I would have taken you. I could have taught school for you. like a special class on creatures in Chicago, like urban creatures.
There you go. Oh, that's what you got to do, John. We got to do
How you doing? Like
great.
I don't ask no questions. Yeah, really.
Right.
That's me.
The Chicago field guide. That's what we need.
Oh, with pitchforks up and pitchforks down and so forth.
Sir.
Right. Well, we have the Democrat, another stupid idea. The Democratic National Convention is coming, right? And so I hear that there's a big labor agreement, so the big unions will not strike.
We promise we won't ruin the National Convention for our savior,
for our benefactors,
Brandon Johnson.
Democrats, right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's so weird how labor, all of a sudden, everything's kumbaya. How's that work? Yeah, that's going to be a disaster. I can't. I mean, it probably won't. It'll probably be fine. It's going to be at United Center.
It's stupid to have.
Rocky works his place. So, you know, it's.
I'm just for him. When we had the Democratic Convention in 1996, it's the last thing I wanted, because as a reporter, you're responsible for your town, right? Mm-hmm. What happens? There's no shutting down. There's no time off. There's no day, let's go for lunch or dinner here and there.
Yeah.
There's none of that because you're scrambling.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun scrambling, children, because with less people, and it means less because, you know, the papers mean nothing.
Yeah.
So
it'll be really interesting to see it, just to see what happens. I mean, we'll see.
Well, we got a little ways until then.
Yeah, we've got 12 months, something like that.
All right, so we still have time to watch John and Jeff on Friday mornings, I guess, and answer questions about that.
Yeah. And we got to revisit our time we spent at the convention in 2016.
Oh, with Kristen?
With Kristen, yeah, and the singing. That was fun. I'll dig up some
Kristen
of that audio.
Kristen has a voice, you know.
It does, and she can play the piano. She's very talented.
Plays the piano, yeah.
She's not just a good writer and a good mind.
And a good mom and a good person.
Yeah, that too. Well, John, I think it's about that time. We should probably get going here, because I got to get back to doing, you know, taking care of the missus. She should be getting up just about now.
You should be doing that, and I got to start plowing the back 40, because I've got another column or two to do this week. So for Johncast News, and I don't even have time to go out and get myself some sausage, but I do have to do that too, Jeff, sooner or later.
Yes, so, absolutely,
because there's nothing like a heart patient eating great sausage.
Exactly.
I'm just telling you.
No, hey.
All right, buddy. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, and for me, John Cass, bottle washer in chief of johncassnews.com.
And for you, our listeners, thanks for listening. I mean, we appreciate it. I don't think we talk to them enough, John. So let's change that.
You know what? We don't have enough interactive. Yeah. And a few of them I don't want to even hear from, but a lot of you I do.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to you again soon on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.